Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
We waited. We waited 3 weeks. But we finally get a game seven times two. That's kind of cool, right? Back-to-back nights with game seven. And let's hope, just for competition's sake, for dramatic effect, that game seven on Monday, which was a blowout, it's, you know, happy for the Rangers. We'll talk about the Rangers. But game seven on Monday is not the same pattern that we'll see on Tuesday. I'd like one to go down to the wire. But regardless, World Series matchup will be set come this time tomorrow night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really excited to hang out with you all, with yous. I'm trying to think if I've got family members other than my maternal grandfather who say yous. I think so. Maybe it was a Northeast Ohio thing. Maybe it was just my Italian family in Northeast Ohio. But I've got cousins that also use the term yous. Oh, not I've got cousins who use, U-S-E, the term use, as in all of use, Y-O-U-S, not the same. I can understand why that would be confusing. I hope you survived your Monday, a bit of a manic Monday. I know on my end, I had another chapter written in homeownership. I'm telling you what, owning a home, being a homeowner is an education and an experience every day. On Monday, I learned about trimming your trees and why it's important and how it's important as it specifically pertains to evergreens. So that was worth getting up early for. It actually was. It's something that has to be done for a variety of reasons. I have a large border row of pine trees. They're easily 40 feet tall. It's the back border of my backyard. They were planted by the previous owners who had the house for 40 years. And so these pine trees are enormous. They're healthy, they're beautiful, they're green, but they're heavy. And in some cases, especially on one particular side, they're encroaching on my neighbor's shed. And so I have to get them trimmed. And I learned all about how and why you trim and maintain evergreen trees, which I grew up in New Hampshire. We have tons of evergreen trees, but we also had woods. And so you don't really prune or trim trees in your woods. These are different. These are trees right smack dab in the middle of the neighborhood. And they are ginormous, but also beautiful. So that was part of what I did on my Monday afternoon. And then yard work. It was a really nice day out, but mostly the yard work has to be done since I've got company coming this weekend. And then it was time for baseball. I know 5 o'clock in the afternoon felt early to me. I'm on Eastern time. I can't imagine what it felt like for those of you who were starting to watch the game at 2 o'clock. And that would include, of course, Diamondbacks fans. So Diamondbacks and Phillies, the early game, before you even finished cleaning up after dinner. That sounds so utopian. I eat dinner at weird times, so generally I'm eating dinner around 8:30, 9 o'clock. But for those of you who eat dinner at what I would consider a typical dinner time, then the game was half over by then. And we got the Game 7 in primetime up against the Mannings, Monday Night Mannings, as well as Monday Night Football on its standard broadcast. And yeah, both broadcasts were doozies. Not so much because they were both surprises. Although, for sure, the Niners dropping back-to-back games and also having their first game with multiple turnovers in a year, an actual calendar year. It's been a year since week 7 of last season in which they've had a game with multiple turnovers. Brock Purdy, first time he's ever thrown two interceptions in a game. I know his tenure doesn't stretch back that far, but in and of itself, the way the Vikings played their best game of the year, how about that touchdown to end the first half? Looks like it's going to be an interception off Kirk Cousins. Instead, Jordan Addison wrestles it away, and he's off to the races. And it was, yeah, there were some pretty impressive feats of strength by both teams. Christian McCaffrey extending his record. But Kirk Cousins played extremely well. Jordan Addison had a phenomenal game. Jake Moody finally recovered from his blue mood. He was so blue. Finally recovered from his struggles and hit a 55-yard field goal. But as you watch this game play out in the late stages, it's the interceptions that will stick with you. Stick with Brock, no doubt. He takes losses and personal mistakes very hard. So we will talk about Monday Night Football and the wrap-up to Week 7 in the NFL. But I want to ask you this question. Which team has got you more concerned? And you don't have to be a fan of one of these teams. How about we don't even say that? We say which team is in dire straits? Is it the Bills or the Niners? These are two Super Bowl contenders. And San Francisco just dropped back-to-back games on the road. The Bills, they've been a bit of a mess now offensively for a few weeks. Save a couple of games, they've had trouble offensively. But even their defense, missing a couple key pieces now because of injuries, as is pretty much every team comes with the regular season. But they aren't recovering or rebounding well. So which team is in a bigger pickle? Is it the Bills or is it the San Francisco 49ers? Or maybe it's the Bengals. You could consider them to be a World Series, haha, a Super Bowl contender as well, based on their last couple years with Joe Burrow. And we are left, by the way, with just two teams sitting on the one loss. The two teams that met in last year's Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Once again, on top of their divisions. And at this point, you could say playing the most consistent football. The Chiefs have are you ready for this? A three-game lead in their division. It's week 7, and they already have a three-game lead in their division. The Eagles and the Cowboys, certainly they're going to go back and forth. Cowboys have just had their bye. Eagles haven't taken theirs yet. But those two teams, like last year, setting the pace in the East. Jay, what is that bag that's sitting on the edge of the console? What is that?
I just noticed that.
That's very strange. Just some random plastic bag. Like the person who worked in there before you was a bag lady or bag person. Is it supposed to be? It's very distracting. Just some random plastic. What's in it?
I don't know. It's got weight to it, though.
Are you going to open it up?
I'm a little nervous, too.
What do you think
it
could be?
It's got some sort of... Oh, it's food.
It's food and it's sitting on the soundboard?
Yeah. Well, oh, it's just an empty bag. There's like some utensils.
Okay.
I'm
still
gonna.
It shouldn't be there on the console.
No.
On our. Yeah, I mean, those are probably from 1972, but still, they cost a lot of money and could easily take us off the air if the plastic bag got stuck somewhere. All right, I was getting a bit distracted by that random plastic. Aren't plastic bags illegal in New York and New Jersey now?
They are. This is like, I don't even know what to call this thing that I have. This is rare.
When Bob and I went to the grocery store the last time he was here, I had to explain to him that there were no plastic bags. Actually, he went without me, and I had to explain to him he had to take canvas bags, which is kind of funny to see a dude walking around with canvas bags. At least my dude. Maybe not any other dude. But
I just hold it in my hands now, usually.
Do you?
Yeah.
You don't keep canvas bags, reusable bags in your car?
No, I don't actually. There's like I feel like they're floating all over my house. Every week you find like three new reusable bags.
That's because people go to the store, they forget to take their bags, and they buy new ones. It's a scam. It really is a scam. But
like
you know,
flooding.
At least the canvas bags are biodegradable or something. I don't even know if they are, but if there's enough of them floating around, won't they be just as challenging as as the plastic bags?
It's just the new bags now, like the paper ones or whatever they use, they don't hold weight. So you know, you go to the store, you go anything, say you go to the mall, you get a pair of shoes, you get it in the bag, you got to walk around, you can't because the handle just rips off right away.
Oh, well, that's why you use canvas bags. They are very sturdy, but canvas bags would look goofy at the mall. You would not look cool.
No, and that's, you know, you got to look cool at the mall.
Jay loves the mall. I'm not a huge fan of the mall. I avoid it like the plague. The mall and Times Square, I avoid them both like the plague.
Times Square, I'll avoid.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, well, that poll is still live and thriving. It's living and thriving. That does not rhyme. But it looks good. Sounds good. So that's your poll. And then producer Jay has just added a new one. Which team is in a bigger pickle? Is it the Niners or is it the Bills? Neither one right now are representing, I think, the abilities and the expectations of their franchise, but that's the way football plays out every year. There are teams that have very high expectations that don't meet them, and there are other teams that have zero expectations who somehow manage to surprise us. So, yes, take our new poll up, but also you can find our Monday MVP poll, which I guess I will retweet. Now, I know a lot of you are sharing your write-in votes on Facebook as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, because you are still so unbelievably offended that we would leave out Myles Garrett, or who's the other one that got left out that people are really upset about? Myles Garrett or, oh, Patrick Mahomes. Though Travis Kelce was in there because it was National Tight Ends Day, so anyway, you all can peruse that on your own time, but the poll will only be live for another couple hours, Monday MVP anyway. And we'll also get to your TD of the week poll because that's what we do around here. All right, so we've got NFL Week 7 culminating with Monday Night Football. That's coming up. But we also had a Game 7. Forget Week 7 for a second. We had a Game 7 on Monday evening. I think that as much as the Astros have put together this incredible streak with 7 straight ALCS appearances, 2 World Series rings, another trip to the World Series, as much as we'll look at this Astros team because of everything that it went through. Now, granted, a lot of its transition and its turnover was self-imposed because of the cheating scandal. And some of you still prefer to put an asterisk next to 2017. There's no taking away from what this group has accomplished. The heart and the mettle of a champion. They had some major glaring weaknesses, and that's one reason why it took them until the very end of the regular season to catch the Rangers in the AL West. It was the Rangers who spent the majority of the season atop the West standings. It was the Rangers who were built to win a title. Honestly, it was more about spirit and experience. And as I say, championship heart and fight and knowledge, all of that, sheer tenacity. Not that there aren't talented hitters and good pitchers in that Astros dugout slash rotation, but it was the Rangers who were on top the majority of the season. And they went through a bit of a swoon. I think it was pretty evident all year long that finally the moves that the Rangers had made were paying off. And this is without a couple of guys that they lost in their starting rotation. The fact that they lost the division title in a tiebreak on the very last day of the regular season, it stuck with them. So what do? They go out and they take out Tampa in two games on the road in the wild card. Then they sweep the Orioles, who had 101 wins. Sweep the Orioles, and they win two more games there in Baltimore. They end up taking the first two games in Houston. And if you didn't know this team was something special by then, you just weren't paying attention. The Astros fought hard and pushed this to the brink, and I am impressed with how they managed to rally and even take a lead in the ALCS. It's what they've done. It's what we've come to expect from them. But for the Rangers, even though they did fall behind and lose all three games on their own field and kind of taste that bitterness, that frustration, you had to know this team was going to bounce back. And you had to know this team was equipped. They had to win two games with their backs against the wall. They absolutely would. And they wasted no time in pushing that point home. They wasted no time in, once again, taking an opposing fan base or an opposing crowd and muting them. I wouldn't say silencing them, but in removing crowd noise and electricity from the equation. And so after the break, we'll get into all the dirty deets. Game 7 between the Rangers and the Astros. I know that when it comes to playoffs, it doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. But the Rangers, they were equipped for this. We saw them bounce back. Remember, they lost the division lead for a while there and were battling not just the Astros, but the Mariners. This team was equipped and showed us all year that just when you think they're done, sometimes they save the best for last. They've got a great mix of veterans who've come from other places, who have championship experience, or at least postseason experience, and they've got Bruce Bochy. And that counts for something. We know it does. A brand new ALCS RBI record, an ALCS MVP, some big bats, a big celebration, some big smiles as the Rangers get back to the World Series for the first time since 2011. Really cool story. If you love fresh blood, if you root for teams that have never won championships in their past, this is your group. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, got a brand new poll up, plus our Monday MVP poll. On our Facebook page, too, our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people, because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6 is sleek, full of advanced tech, and has a range of up to 360 miles. Any drawbacks? Yeah, every Ioniq 6 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit, so you're going to have to figure out something else to spend that money on. The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6. Hyundai, it's your journey.
EPA estimated 361 mile range for Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Actual range varies based on trim and other factors. Actual charge time varies based on charging unit output, temperature, and other factors. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Here's the 1-0 pitch to Seager. A swing and a high drive will hit right field. That has hit a mile. That ball is history. A mammoth home run for Corey Seager into the upper deck. And the Rangers grab a 1-0 lead in the top of the first.
The payoff hits, and Adolis hits a high drive to deep left field. Going back is Brantley. He turns, he looks. That is off the wall. It's in play. Carter heading home. Adolis thought it was a home run. He only gets to first base, and the Rangers lead 2-0. Here's the pitch. Garber swings and lobs one in the air. Short left center field. Coming on hard is McCormick. Diving from left is Brantley, and it's in and out of Brantley's glove. Adolis around third, he's heading home. Here's the throw to the plate, it is cut off. Into second base goes Garver, and it's 3-0, Rangers in the first.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Rangers Radio, they weren't messing around. We should have known. This game was taking place at Minute Maid Park, and the Rangers showing off those hot bats immediately. On their way to 11 runs on 15 hits. The big inning, they send 10 men to the plate in the fourth.
Pitch to Carter, swung on and lined down the right field line, hooking. Fair, it lands right on the chalk. One run is home, 2 runs are home. The Rangers lead it by the score of 6-2. Seager ends up at third. Carter at second on a 2-run double. 2-0. Adolis swings, hits a ground ball through the left side. It's a base hit. 1 run home, and here comes Carter to the plate. He will score. It is 8-2 Texas. And Adolis Garcia has a new American League Championship Series record for RBIs. How about that? 14 of them for Adolis.
Yeah, and he wasn't done. He extended the record. You know, he now has 20 RBI in this postseason.
And the pitch swung on and a high fly ball hit to left field. This is deep. Back is Brantley at the wall. He's looking up, and that ball is history. It just barely makes it into the Crawford boxes. A 2-home run game for Adolis Garcia. That was a moonshot.
Once again, the Texas Rangers with more than enough offense in Houston, and they bludgeon the defending World Series champions 11-4, was it? With a late Jose Altuve home run. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am impressed with what we saw. Backs against the wall multiple times with this team. And again, I think there's some symmetry with the way that they were embarrassed, or they were dejected, devastated by the fact that they lost the AL West title in a tie break. They allowed the Astros to come from behind and tie them on the last day of the regular season. And they had to deal with the fact that they had limped through the final weekend, dropping 3-4 to the Mariners. And I think it was 6 of their last 8, I think. Don't quote me on that. But they really struggled and scuffled and wasted opportunities in their last week of the regular season. And the Astros caught them. And then there they were, up 2-0. They've grabbed both games at Minute Maid Park to begin the ALCS, and they lose 3 in a row on their own field. Once again, getting popped in the mouth by the same team. So you had to know that they would rally. They're not a team that licks their wounds for long. We've seen that with this group.
And again, I do think it's because of the veteran leadership, not to mention what we know about Bruce Bochy. He is a winner. This guy, you do not want to see him in the opposing dugout when it comes to winner-take-all games. In search of now his fourth World Series title as a manager. And I saw this post earlier on Twitter from Britt Garoli. Bruce Bochy is the first manager in MLB history to win the league championship series with three different teams. He may be a dinosaur. Just kidding. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. He also won it with the Giants and with the Padres. And his teams have never lost in winner-take-all games. How about that? That's pretty incredible. And they've done it by winning every road game that they've faced in October.
It's hard to explain some things. You know, for us to go in Tampa against that great ball club and win there, and then go into Baltimore, who won over 100 games, to go in there and win. It's just the heart and determination these guys have shown on the road. And there's something about the road that does bring a club together, especially at a long road trip. After we lost in Seattle, that was probably as low a point as we've had all year. But these guys have continued to get up, and they've taken their punches, but they keep getting up. But there's no reason to explain what happened. They went 3 at our place, which they beat on us pretty good all year at our place. And for us to come in here, they win 4 games. It just says a lot about them.
How about this, too? The way that Bochy has managed starters and bullpen. Incredible move to put Jordan Montgomery out there after Max Scherzer was pulled. He wasn't terrible. He limited the damage. He gave up 2 runs on 4 hits, but did not pitch out of the 3rd inning. Bochy wasn't taking any chances, so instead he brings in Jordan Montgomery, who's now 3-0 in this postseason. He ends up with the W. And as much as you can point to Adi Garcia, and he certainly is the ALCS MVP in his story, it's not unique in that there are a handful of Cuban ball players. I don't want to say many, but there are Cuban ball players that escape from that island, are able to get into the United States, use baseball as their ticket out, and a lot of them go through harrowing escapes and are able to not just find success in a new life for themselves, freedom for themselves, freedom from oppression, but also, in many cases, their families. But it's not easy to get out. It's not easy to establish yourself somewhere else. And so for him, everything he went through, from Cuba to now being the first in the history of baseball to have 15 RBI in a postseason series, to have 20 to this point, to be on his way to the Fall Classic with the Rangers, is a true rags-to-riches story. And the Rangers are like that too. I love that the fan base finally gets to exult in a trip to the World Series because they've had some brutal seasons. They've really suffered. This team has been down and out and rock bottom since 2011. They've tried. They've made moves. They spent a lot of money. And honestly, some of those are finally now culminating with success. But it's not been an easy road for either the Rangers or the fan base in the last 12 seasons. But taking the microcosm of the last month, you hear Bruce Bochy talking about how low they were after leaving Seattle and getting to Tampa and having to start in the wild card round, having to be on the road to begin the playoffs after they led their division for the majority of the season. And Marcus Semien, the top of that lineup, he echoes that same thing.
We played some good baseball on the road. You know, I think you look at Tampa and Baltimore here, we did great on the road. Now now it's time to play better at home. And we got home field advantage now. Fans have been waiting for this moment for, 12 years? I can't wait to be a part of it.
That's the call. Well, the call. That's the celebration on Bally Sports Southwest. And speaking of celebrations, we're going to welcome a guest coming up next hour who was on the field, in the clubhouse, part of our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan, covering the Rangers, their pre- and post-game shows. So we'll have a special guest who is right in the thick of it joining us live next hour. Marcus, I just said, because I was using Marcus Simeon, I just addressed you as Marcus Belletti. Sorry.
That's all right. It's a new one, but it's okay.
My apologies. Marco Belletti. It's been a Monday. It's been a Monday, Marco.
Mm.
Was it a Marco Monday?
Mm.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes. So, Marco, we're as we pivot here a little bit, we're asking our listeners, which team is in a greater pickle in the NFL? Is it the Bills or the Niners? Which team would be the one that would induce more worry?
The Bills, no doubt. Not even a question in my mind. The 49, look, it's disturbing in the fact that you lost two games to teams that, yeah, the Browns with P.J. Walker and the Vikings who were down and they didn't even have Justin Jefferson. I get all that. But it's still a bump in the road. Your team is still the roster construction, everything there. You may worry a little bit about Brock Purdy and back-to-back losses. I'm not overly concerned.
Eh.
I was concerned about the Bills walking into the season because I feel like the window is only open for so long and they've missed so many opportunities. Then they had the Stephon Diggs melodrama that Sean McDermott, let's be fair, threw gasoline on the fire of a small issue and turned it into a major problem. They have struggled from the get-go. Couldn't beat a Jets team that took their heart and soul watching Aaron Rodgers go down four plays into the year. Couldn't capitalize on that. Their offense has been completely rudderless because their offensive line's been a mess. They can't get their running game going. Josh Allen looks like the Josh Allen the first few years of his career where he's throwing picks left and right. They have not been able to solidify. Even their wins don't make you feel all that well. You beat a giant team.
Except
that
for the Dolphins game. I would say
great.
That one.
I know, but you're an entire season, and now we're poking at one game. Like, they were supposed to be a team in the last 3 or 4 years that's knocking on the door to be able to get to a point of not only a Super Bowl, but turn into the next team in the NFL. And they're getting further and further and further away from it. And it feels like they're getting more and more away from their identity, and they're looking at each other, and they're confused. If I were a Bills fan, I would feel like the window is not only closing, it's starting to shut. I would be very concerned about the Bills.
Well, part of it is not just that the fact that the Bills have not capitalized on their opportunities. It's also the fact that they're playing at the same time as the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are sucking the air out of the AFC.
I get it.
And the Bengals, too, way they played the last 2 years.
That's the other thing, too. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, like you had an opportunity to beat the Chiefs. You couldn't, whatever that was, 15 seconds, whatever. That's a tough one. That's a kick to the face, and it's hard to recover from that. You had home field. The Bengals came to you. And they whooped you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame the Chiefs. That's where you start looking at everybody else and going, well, they're really good, and they're really good. Start looking in the mirror, pal, because you're not as good as you think you are. Because if everybody else is walking into your place and beating you, it's you. And I feel like the Bills are, right now, they're at a conundrum. They're staring each other in the face, and they don't know what to do. And I feel like that comes from Sean McDermott. I don't think he's the right leader for that team, and I think they're finding out. And that extension is going to be a problem for them when they're looking to walk away from it.
Interesting. That's our poll that's currently up on our show Twitter after hours CBS, along with our Monday MVP poll. All right, so we're going to get to Monday Night Football, Niners, Vikings, and the first real bit of adversity for Brock Purdy, other than being drafted dead last in 2022. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hockenson in short motion. The 49ers rush four. Kirk straight drop. Loops to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown! It's a high five for Jordan Addison. His fifth touchdown this season. And the Vikings have taken a 6-0 lead.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
It was the Vikings on the board first, because of a turnover. Points off turnovers being a big deal for the Vikings in this game. So after an early Christian McCaffrey fumble, the Vikings get a Jordan Addison touchdown. And maybe you knew something was amiss for the Niners even then. Paul Allen with the call on the Minnesota Vikings radio network. Now, Christian McCaffrey, these days, he's automatic. When the Niners need a touchdown, he's going to be their first choice. And granted, you know that opposing defenses and coordinators, they are game planning for Christian McCaffrey, so it's not always easy, but he is going to get his.
Handoff, McCaffrey. McCaffrey dives into the end zone. Touchdown! CMC!
McCaffrey is among the tops in the NFL when it comes to touchdowns scored, even through week 7. Raheem Mostert's right up there as well. But McCaffrey's got this streak, and the number of games in a row in which he has scored a touchdown. Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. I have no doubt that he would trade it for a couple of wins these last 2 weeks, but it's cool to see, A, that he was out there because he had the oblique slash rib injury. And I guess he told the team that he hadn't felt any pain the last 3 days. So that's great news. He healed quickly. Nothing that was real severe or serious. We had heard that he'd avoided a serious injury, which was good. But how much would the pain bother him once he started getting hit? It didn't seem to. So he did score twice for the Niners, but while we're talking about the number two, the Niners have a 2-game losing streak for just the second time in 2 years. So not something they're used to. Though here's what I will say about these San Francisco 49ers. If you look at the track record, going back to when Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took over, what's been a hallmark of their teams? Using multiple quarterbacks. Sometimes two, sometimes three, last year four different quarterbacks. It's been a long time since they've had a quarterback that they knew they could rely on. Now, they love Jimmy Garoppolo. They won with him, but he wasn't reliable. He was on and off the field because of injuries. They finally answered that question as a team, which means even with two consecutive losses, they're ahead of the game. They're better than where they were, say, this time last year when they'd already lost Trey Lance. And was it Garoppolo went down in week 8? I don't quote me on that, but it was week 8, week 9, somewhere there. Maybe it was even later than that. But they're getting close to the point now where they lost Garoppolo and Brock Purdy was essentially called in off the practice squad, though they had seen him work and they knew what he was capable of. He's exceeded expectations. The quarterback question has finally been answered to the point where they even traded away Trey Lance. They allowed Garoppolo to walk. They brought in Sam Darnold, for heaven's sakes. So they're comfortable with Brock Purdy, and this is his first real adversity. How will he handle it? He did have 272 passing yards, was without Debo Samuel, but connected with Brandon Ayuk. Except when there was an opportunity to go out and win the game, or to go out and put some more points on the board late, we saw him make mistakes. And now it's 2 games in a row in which he's made some mistakes, and people are starting to get nervous.
Purdy back to pass him, and he needs to sack him. He loops it over the middle. Intercepted! Yes! The Vikings beat the Niners! And Cam Bynum has a 2-interception night! And now a fight unfurls on the field. And we're not over-exaggerating that. There were punches thrown. These sour-ass Niners can go ahead and get out of town.
Wow. Paul Allen on Vikings radio. He would tell you, of course, he's paid by the team. And I don't know if he would use the word homer, but of course he knows that his bread is buttered by the Vikings, and he's been with the Vikings a long time.
These sour-ass Niners.
The sour-ass Niners, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sometimes I can be a sour ass as well. Kirk Cousins with a big game. Nearly 400 yards passing, a couple of touchdowns. He had an interception early, but even without Justin Jefferson, he distributed the ball. He was able to complete passes to 9 different targets.
I've always just viewed it as being a point guard and distributing, and whoever the other players are out there, I'll just be the distributor. And that's kind of the way I've always played going back to high school. So I've been fortunate to play with a lot of talented skill players through my years, and I'll keep doing that. But really, it's just my thought is I'm the point guard, distributing to whoever it may be. And then Kevin's kind of the coach, drawing it up, and I just got to go execute it.
Every ball was there. The line did great. No sacks. Defense stepped up when we needed them. It was just a great team win.
Jordan Addison catching the most balls from Kirk Cousins, 7 of them for 123 yards and a couple of touchdowns. The big one being just before half when he was able to wrestle it away from a Niners DB. He's able to win essentially what was a jump ball. It looked like it was going to be an interception. And instead, I mean, it's not often would say that you have, and I don't care what receiver it is. This is not specific to Jordan Addison, though he is a slight guy, but it's not often that you'll get someone who will be able to wrestle the ball away from Charvarius Ward or Fred Warner or Adre Greenlaw, who I know was off the field late. But these are strong, physical, tough members of that San Francisco defense. So the fact that Addison is able to take that ball and to go 60 yards with it just before half, to me, that's the major turning point. I know the Niners only lost by 5. They had opportunities. But gosh, think about how different it could have felt there in Minneapolis had they not coughed up that touchdown. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, you may have seen the post that I quoted or quote tweeted from longtime NFL head coach and defensive coordinator, Super Bowl winner Wade Phillips. And this is what he posted. "That's why you don't blitz with no time left in the half," in response to what we saw, because there was no one behind Ward and Addison as they went for that ball. So yeah, quite a boost heading into the locker room for the Vikings. And Kevin O'Connell, he may have seen his Vikings fall into a hole in the first month of the season, but they are anything but resigned to the way the season will play out.
"When I stood in front of you guys this morning, and I told you we had plenty, more than enough, to get it done, if you just trusted in your brother, trusted in what we do around here. And then what was it? No hesitation. Shoot your shot. Every single play. You are prepared and ready to go play your best game yet. You guys just did it. Give it up again." "Complimentary football. Complimentary football is a beautiful thing. And we just felt it at the highest level. We got to be ready to package this feeling up, bottle it up. Everything we work for, every guy in here doing everything they can to lean into the guy next to him, and good things are going to happen for this team."
Kevin O'Connell is passionate in that postgame locker room. And I know it's way too early to talk about playoffs, so I won't. But what I will say is the NFC is wide open. That much we know. It is wide open. The Eagles are 6-1. The Niners are 5-2. The Lions are 5-2, having gotten their rear ends handed to them by the Ravens. The Falcons are in first place in the South. So those are your division leaders. Then you've got 2 teams that are 4-2 in the Cowboys and the Seahawks, and a bunch of teams that are either at 500 or are below 500. And that includes the Vikings now at 3-4. So they are not done. We are not done. We're barely scratching the surface. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.